Hello and welcome to PMI's Uncommon Sense podcast, tools to improve your work forever. I'm Susanna Clark, Managing Partner with PMI. Our Uncommon Sense podcast is a 15-minute conversation with our expert consultants. They talk a lot of common sense, although much of it is not common practice. And that's what this podcast is all about. We want you to be inspired to improve your business through learning more about the tools which can help you succeed and grow. So hello, everybody. Today, I'm joined in the studio by Jan Gillett. Jan, it's great to have you with me today. Thank you so much for agreeing to join me.
Well, it's great to see you. I mean, it's a long time, but great. Yeah.
And today's episode is going to be a bit different to our normal episodes. This is really to, in recognition of the passing of Dr. Denning 30 years ago. And I thought it would be really interesting to have a conversation with Jan, because Jan met Dr. Denning, and I know the work that he was doing was a foundation for the thinking that you brought into PMI when you were managing director of PMI. So I think let's get straight to the key question that I wanted to talk to you about, which is, tell me what it was like, what your first experience of Dr. Denning was and meeting him, and how that developed your thinking, I suppose.
Yeah, so that's an even long time ago, of course, 1987, managing director of a company which was a Ford supplier. And we, amongst another 200 Ford suppliers, we received the command to adopt the Denning approach to total quality management. And for as far as I was concerned, that was the what of what. So I was enabled to go to one of the conferences that he was giving or appearing in the NEC that summer. And I also was able to meet up with people from the British Denning Association. And it's really hard to overplay the impact on somebody who had spent 20 years nearly at work in big companies, being very frustrated about what we had been taught and at how they were working. And all of a sudden, here was this guy talking almost completely counter to almost everything. And the company I was managing director of hadn't been there long. It was quite clear it was a reasonable crisis. And I took the decision that I would be yet another casualty unless I tried to do something different from just cutting the costs and managing the complaints. So I launched into, on the basis of not very much evidence other than what Denning was saying about the attitude of bosses, about needing to understand various parts of how the organization worked, that I just thought, and he was clearly credited with being a lot of the thought process behind Toyota, which at that stage was the miracle organization. How do they do that? Committed my future career thinking, I've got an opportunity here to learn a lot and make a difference, or just be another casualty. I did lead some great changes in this business. We did employ a consultant, half as whose work was kind of useful, but most of it not really. And then the company I was working with got taken over, and I thought, right, I've seen enough. This is the way in 1990 to do this work. And so I was then recruited by the American PMI. So that led me into the field in the States, where the founder of PMI, Lou Schultz, had been one of Denning's assistants through, 20 of his four-day seminars. And for those who don't appreciate it, he spent 10 years doing probably 2 four-day seminars a month, lost the States and to some extent into other countries too, at which would be 500 to 1,000 people hanging on his every word. And part of his appeal was that he could call upon the whole of mass production experience that he had lived through. And so I thought, he's a really one-off. When he dies, we will lose that memory. He started in the late 1920s as a young graduate. He'd worked through with Ford, with the census agency, with building ships in the Second World War, with Toyota. You name it, he'd been there, he'd seen it firsthand. So that to me gave me enormous credibility. Lots of what they were talking about was actually really rather ancient even then. But actually, it was the way of thinking and the expectation he had of top managers.
Can you give me some examples? You know, what was that thinking and the expectations of top management? Can you summarize that?
Yes. So I think the thinking, which later became the system of profound knowledge, was you've got to start with thinking of the organization as a system. He didn't have this really as sequences. You have to understand variation and being able to tell the difference between noise and signals. You had to have a discipline for learning, which ought to be called the Deming cycle, but isn't. And people get arguments about PDSA or PDCA. But actually, it's a philosophic concept of major significance of all the time feeding back what you're doing into learning about what you should do next. Simple, but very powerful. And The fourth element was get the people who know what they're doing involved with it. And that's an easy thing, isn't it? Because people always assume mean the people at the shop floor. Getting the bosses, the directors, involved and injured and hurt by that learning process is utterly essential, and they will all avoid it like the plague if they can get away with it. And hence, most programs then and since have founded on junior and middle people getting the message and doing it, and the senior people hating the message.
And what's getting in the way for them, do you think? Because, you know, we all believe, don't we, particularly us in PMI, that people come to work to do a good job. We absolutely hold that, you know, at the centre of our beliefs when we're working with people. So therefore, one would expect that that transcends into the top management. So what is it about that message and that philosophy that isn't landing with top management?
It's very, very hard for people to change, even if they accept the evidence right in front of them, that there is a different way of doing things. It is astoundingly more effective and smoother, but they will be nervous about doing it. And that's just human nature, isn't it? Actually, there were various occasions where there would be people in clients, quite senior people, who recognized the challenge of getting this across to their colleagues and were pleased to have people who admitted to them as consultants, actually, we don't have a solution we're going to tell you to do. We're going to work with you. So you find the solution. We'll provide the thinking and the tools, but we don't know how to run an aerospace plant. And that is universal, that you can read as much history as you like, going back as many hundred years as you choose, right to this present day. Those issues of change, of personal change, of organizational development are timeless.
And you talked earlier on, you know, old man, being around a lot, obviously had an enormous following to be able to deliver that many of those conferences that frequently with that number of people attending. How does that apply to what we're faced with today? The world has moved on and changed. We've got all sorts of other currently economic challenges, huge sustainability challenges, and those are both affecting organisations. So does it still hold true, his philosophies?
So where we've got to now, and people say, oh, of course, today's problems are different, aren't they? Yes, of course they are. But they're not different in kind. All work is still a process. All organizations are systems. They need to get processes interacting on behalf of the whole system. Most payment systems systematically destroy that. All processes vary. If a process looks as if it's not varying, that's because somebody's fixing the numbers. And that doesn't matter whether you've got vast amounts of machine learning data. It will produce variations in what's going on, but maybe overwhelm the understanding of those variations because there's so much data. And as you go around the scientific method, which is what the Deming cycle, PDSA, is, really you can see roots of that in what Newton was writing about in the 1600s and Galileo a bit before him. That's a philosophic key issue. Nothing to do with whether it's you're talking about autonomous vehicles or working on a Model T Ford assembly plant. And I do this all the time with my Tesla, and it fails all the time. There is no system for feedback into that system. So if a system, this system which is interlocking processes, never has any feedback coming into it, and it's subject only to the direction of a single mind, it can't have single figure parts per million failures. And what's more to the point, autonomous vehicles require maybe single figure parts per trillion. Lot of things going on. The philosophy of the American car industry is we're always 2 or 3 years away from cars with no steering wheels. The Japanese, when I last looked, were saying could be 2105.
And if you had your opportunity again to go to a conference with Dr. Deming, if he was still with us, is there a question you wish you'd always asked him?
Well, I did go to quite a number of them. And ever since I was about so high, I've always thought if a company's paying me to go to a conference, I need to stand up and ask a question. I slowly learned that if you're going to credit your company, you better make sure it's a useful question.
Yes.
I think I'd want to inquire further into some quite arcane philosophic implications of what is learning. Without expecting to get the answer, because that's what is learning is surely an unanswerable question, but you have to keep on trying to find out in today's circumstance. People think that something called artificial intelligence will help them. Well, it might, but I asked it to do my biography with a few hints, and it credited me with books I haven't written, and didn't credit me and you with the book that we wrote together. And people believe it. That's the challenge that I haven't got the first idea how to approach. Mm. I don't think Dr. Deming would have really wanted to think about.
Jan, thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate you taking time out of driving to the golf club in your Tesla and joining me today. It's great to see you. A significant year in 30 years of Dr. Deming passing.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us. You can find more episodes of our Uncommon Sense Tools to Improve Your Work Forever in our Knowledge Hub on our website, or, of course, your favourite podcast platform. And do subscribe so you never miss an episode. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode, where you'll find links to more content on this topic, which includes webinar recordings, toolbox guides, blogs, and infographics, and our training page. You can always drop us a line on team@pmi.co.uk and arrange a time to have a call to talk about how these tools can help you in your organisation. We'd really love to hear from you.